Ladies and gentlemen, hello, hello, hello. We're here. We're live. We're in color. And I don't know about Christian, but I am wearing briefs underneath my sweatpants. It's the second edition of the Unito Horror Podcast Live Debrief. Christian, I know you already told me earlier how you're doing, but you want to let everybody know how you're doing?
Like right now, or just when we keep it brief and be like, oh, I'm doing good. Like,
well, I can, I mean, you know,
I can do either one. I'm okay. I'm doing good. I'm ready to relax and hang out and talk to the audience and all that kind of stuff. Obviously we have stuff to talk about, but I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm even better now seeing that Salem Station Podcast popped in with a $2 super chat. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It says New Strangers Trilogy, Miramax Halloween. Oh my. Yes. Yeah. Next year, assuming we can get the strike details ironed out for the actors relatively soon, next year should be exciting. So thank you for that super chat. Yeah, man, we do have a lot to talk about tonight. And, you know, I don't know. You don't want me to kind of tiptoe around it, do you? You want to just start off with it? Let everybody know what's going on?
Sure. If you want me to say it, I will. If you want to go for it, I can chip in and add context. Whatever you want to do, it's fine with me.
Alexis said, why is Christian so close? I know, he's really close, right?
I'm using my lower because I'm getting my internet fixed. I talked to some people about this, but basically I'm getting internet that can power a casino in my house. Like, I'm upgrading. So it hasn't, my router isn't here yet. So to make sure I don't lag or anything like that, I am using my lower level webcam, not my Cadillac Mercedes webcam that I usually use on streams. So this one does not have as much of a wide range of focus. So I'm very close. I know I'm sorry, but like, would you rather this or me think like that? Yeah. So I'm sorry. I can back up if I need to.
No. They're not complaining. They're not complaining. It's just, it's different.
How about you just lean in? How about you lean in for me? That way we can. Yeah.
So guys, Christian will chip in on this, but I just want to get this out there. I had told you guys earlier on social media, make sure you didn't miss this. If you guys are watching on the playback and you missed this live, I'm sorry, but Lord knows I've been promoing the hell out of it for the past like 4 days. And that was before I knew what we're going to be discussing tonight. So guys, obviously, if you guys follow Christian on social media, which I'm sure most of, if not all of you do, you saw recently that Christian got in with Paramount Pictures. They're going to be sending him releases for him to do reviews on his channel for. And what's that next one you got right there?
It is the Paramount Scares box set volume 1, which I cannot reveal. People know. I can't say it, but people kind of know what the new title is. But I'm going to be going over that on my channel soon. So that's the first thing they've sent me, is the new Paramount Scares box set.
And he's looking forward to that Titanic one, too.
I am. Ooh, I am.
When's that come out?
December.
Okay.
So very excited.
But yeah, so obviously, as you guys know, he's had a channel for, what, over a decade now? So, been chipping away, and really, last couple of years has really, really leaned heavy into less of Uncle Jerry and more of the physical media. And in doing that, he's got these companies now saying, hey, you do really good reviews, and you have really good production quality, and you know what you're talking about. You actually go into each release. So, Paramount is just the next company that wants to collab with Christian. So with that, Christian doesn't have a ton of time, guys. So when I told you that there was big news, I did mean it. There's a couple things happening. Christian, do you want to just kind of lay out first what your schedule looks like now, moving forward with everything that you have going on, why your time's going to be so limited? Let the people in.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate to have made partnerships with companies like Paramount now, which it's just a long time to get there, you know, and I'm very proud and I'm very fortunate. And this is the way I put it to Nick, because I talked to Nick about this. These opportunities are also obligations that I take on. And with that being said, I have a job to do. I mean, I have I have a job to do. I have stuff to, I have to review. It's got to be done on a timely fashion. And it's not necessarily that I'm trying to say that this is more important than the show, but you know, I've been working at this, what I'm doing with physical media, for a very long time, and I got to give that my all. And so my week, I showed Nick a stack of movies that I have in my, you couldn't jump over it, put it to you that way. If I put it in front of you, it's that high of stuff I have to do. Probably about half of it is stuff that was sent to me to do reviews up, and other stuff is stuff that I bought, which in essence, Nick, you got to kind of get a return on investment on the stuff you buy as well. So I got to review that stuff too, you know? Mm-hmm. So my schedule is insane. I told Nick I have enough movies right now that could probably get me through to maybe December. So with that, do you want me to just continue? Kind of just tell everybody what the deal is? Do you want to? Because I don't want to.
Well, you can tell them what the schedule for the podcast looks like moving forward, and then I'll tell them the switch we're doing.
Okay. So with that being said, guys, the truth of the matter is, I there's only enough hours in the day. I have a full-time job still, and with the opportunities and obligations that I have with these companies, it's impossible, literally impossible, for me to do everything at such a high rate. And you know, when you think about the You Need a Heart podcast, what we did is really kind of insane. We did like 5 years worth of podcasting in two. Nobody does a 2-hour show once a week in what we do. It's really insane. So with that being said, you know, I don't want to scare anybody. The show's not ending. But the truth is we have to cut it back. And in reality, take away my situation. Take away the Paramount stuff. Take away my stuff with MBD, Synapse, and stuff like that. Full Moon, all that. Take all that away. Take away the obligations that I have. This would have happened sooner or later. We can't go that hard with both of us just having YouTube channels that are our own individual channels. There's just no way we could have kept up doing a 2-hour show a week. It's really nuts. When I look back at it, if somebody would have asked me to do what we did, I probably would have been like, you're out of your mind. But we did it. But with that being said, we have to slow down. We have to make the show a show that when we do have an episode, which is going to be guaranteed, this is what I told Nick. We're going to do one nice big episode a month. That's not to say that there may be times where we can add a little something here and there, but the truth is I'm staying so busy. That's what I can promise you guys, the audience. You're going to get an episode a month. But with that, I had other ideas of how we should do things, and I'll let Nick take it from that point if he wants to.
Yeah, so
I'm long-winded. I apologize.
No, you're good. I'm always long-winded. So we're going to one guaranteed month, one episode a month, guaranteed, no matter what. So you guys are going to get an episode every month, beginning of the month, middle of the month, end of the month. I don't know. Neither of us know. It's going to really be based off of his work schedule and his YouTube schedule, because let's not kid ourselves. Christian's YouTube is a lot more to keep up with than mine is. And sometimes mine's overwhelming. So I can only imagine the numbers he has and the partnerships he has and the obligations he has to keep up with all that stuff. So based off of his schedule, that's how we're going to do it. Now, having said that, I don't want anybody, you know, being too bummed out, because how many of your favorite podcasts have you gone through and you've been like, oh, they have so many episodes. And then you go back and you look and you're like, oh, wow, it started like 5 years ago. That's why there's so many episodes. Yeah, because most podcasts do that. It's max like twice a month. Most of the time, that's just, you can't do the weekly thing like we do. And it's easier at times because editing doesn't really go into these things much, but right, what does go into it is 2 hours plus, because what you guys don't see is after we record every episode, we talk afterward for like sometimes a half hour. It's been an hour before where we've just bullshit afterward. And then before you know it, you're like, oh man, we gotta go. So it's a lot of time to dedicate. But having said that, guys, they're going to be big episodes. Christian and I already have the idea for November. It's going to be out. Yeah. CR wants to know, Christian, if you want to address Planet Dirty as well.
Go ahead and finish, and then I'll address that.
Okay. We have a big episode planned for November, and that episode, I guess, technically starting tonight. I mean, it would, since we're doing this right now, the podcast will be, this was Christian's decision, not mine. I agreed to it because, you know, he had good reasons and I understand. The podcast will be moving to my channel from this point forward. It'll still be the two of us. It will still be the normal, you know, long form episodes that are pre-recorded. Sometimes every now and then we'll go live. It's going to be the same. It's just going to be on my channel and not his. Now, his reasoning for that is he wanted me to feel more ownership of it because it's been, you know, over 2 years now. And he wants me to kind of reap some of the rewards from the views we get and the subscribers we get and stuff for my channel because he wants to see me do well. And also, I think it makes more sense because it can keep his channel very streamlined for what he's doing right now. Because a year from now, Christian's channel is going to look a lot different. It's going to, I mean, it really is. Like, it's already mostly,
knock on wood,
physical media. Yeah, knock on wood. But it's really a year from now. Like, this helps him and it helps me. Now, this was his idea. And he was like, if you know, you want to think about it and you want to talk, you know, talk about it, that's fine. But I didn't need to. The thing I said to Christian, guys, the only thing I cared about, I said, well, I just don't want this to hurt the viewership. And he was like, oh, it won't, you know, it's the show. And I said, yeah, but let's not kid ourselves. Your channel is bigger than mine. And there's some people that listen to the pod that, you know, they do because it's your channel. So I guess what I'm asking you guys to do is if you support Christian and you support the podcast, independent of me, it's going to be on my channel from now on. So I hope that you guys will continue to support the podcast and come to the channel because it's the same podcast. We're just putting it on a different channel. That's it. That's it. It's going to be the same thing, how we've always done it. But yeah, that's so those are the changes, guys. I know that some of that's a bummer. I do. It's a bummer to me. You know, he asked me how I felt and I told him, I said, dude, I'm not going to lie. I'm bummed out. I'm bummed out. But I can't say this, I can't stress this enough. And I said this to Christian earlier on the phone. I said it to him last week. And I'm going to say it to all of you guys watching right now. I couldn't be happier for Christian. I couldn't Thank be you. Happier for him that he is getting the recognition he deserves. I don't know many people that put the time, effort, and production quality into their stuff like Christian does. That he will go through every thing on a physical release of a movie he may hate, he'll go down to the subtitle options. Like, so you know everything. The guy puts in work. He also has a full-time job and he's married. So there's got to be a limit here. But again, I just want to let you know again and let everybody watching know, not only am I not upset, I'm incredibly happy. Thank you. I owe a lot of the last 2 years of my YouTube life to you, working with people that I probably would have never given me the time of day was because you gave some validity to my name because you had an idea to make a podcast and you wanted me to be the person. And even though, no matter what, every time there's a complaint, it's always directed at me, but you never, ever once wavered and you were like, I don't want you on the show. The trolls come after me. They complain about me and it didn't matter. So I'm just saying, as corny as it is, you know, whatever, guys, I'm super happy for Christian and I'm going to continue to support him because at the end of the day, man, I don't give a shit about my numbers. I want to see the people around me that I care about that have, you know, lent a hand to me when I needed it. I want to see them do well because my friends win, we all win. So Christian, congrats, keep it going. I hope you get every fucking company in the world sending you their shit so you never have to buy a Blu-ray again.
Yeah.
I love you and I'm proud of you. So
I love you too. I really do appreciate that. And this is going to be good, you know, because, you know, not only am I happy to move the show to your channel, and I'll address Planet Dirty in a second. Spoiler alert. Yes, it's got to back off too, but I don't want either of these shows to end. I really don't. So that's why I'm going to make a concerted effort to continue them. No matter how busy I get, being able to do a podcast episode a month is, I can make that happen, you know, and it's going to be great because when you think about it like this, guys, in a month, you could have two or three great films come out, and then you get to look forward to the episode where we break it down. And it's not that we were stretching for content because there's always stuff to talk about, but it's going to be nice to not only the audience, but for us, quite frankly, to be able to sink our teeth into, oh, dude, we have so much shit to talk about. And it's going to be great. So just think of it as this, guys. Wrestling is moving from USA to TNT. That's it. I mean, it's just moving channels. And honestly, it's like we're actually just going to do this, not in a proper way, but just in a much more reasonable way, probably the way it should have started in the beginning. Hey, let's do a show a month. We'll cover everything that happens and then some. Dave's got it right. You guys were spoiled. It was fun. But if looking back, I really don't see how we did it. It's really insane. It really is. But no, I appreciate the kind words, Nick. It means a lot to me. And I mean, we're not done. Like, we're just getting started, but it's going to be great. And to address Planet Dirty, I haven't talked to Brandon about this yet, but I'm going to tell him the same thing I'm going to tell Nick. You know, I will try. If I can make an hour for UNITA, I could probably make an hour one night for Planet Dirty. But guys, I got a lot going. And it's like I said, take away the physical meat, take away the movies I've got, or take it all away. I guarantee you this still would have happened between me and Nick within a 5 or 6 month span. We would have been like, dude, we got to slow down. Like, we have to slow down.
I'll be honest, dude. There's been times where you've told me we're recording on this night and I didn't have any time to myself. You know, I worked all day. It came home. Tough. We started recording. And then by the time we were done, it was almost bedtime. And I was like, I had no fucking time to myself today.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
But I never looked at it as a job, and I never will look at it as a job, because I just get to bullshit talking about movies and stuff with my friend. And like that, I made this channel for that reason when I was a teenager, because nobody cared about what I was passionate about. Right, I would talk to people in my everyday life and they'd be like, dude, you're so weird. Like, I don't care. So I was like, I'm going to go to a space where I can find people like me that appreciate what I like. So talking with you once a week, doing these things has been awesome. Mm-hmm. And yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to make it more of an event, guys. It really is. It's going to make it more of an event. And Christian and I talked about this earlier. I want to stress this to you guys as well. These aren't going to be like, oh, here's your November episode. It's an hour and 15 minutes long. No.
Maybe 2.5 hours, 2 hours, two yeah. and a half hours. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be long episodes, because if we're covering everything that happened over the last month, there's a lot to talk about. There really will be. So I guess I'll just let you guys know now, because I don't have a tentative date yet. Obviously, I'm going to work that out with Christian and our guest in November. But drum roll, everybody. The guest in November, it's going to be a live show. It is going to be a live You Need a Horror podcast show, and it's going to be with the man himself, Sean Clark. We will have Sean Clark on for November's episode live, and you guys can ask him anything you want. The conversation can go wherever we want it to go, and I'm excited for it. Christian's excited for it. We haven't had Sean on in over a year. We've been wanting to do it. He said November. Absolutely. And now with this new schedule we're working with, that's perfect. So November, we'll get Sean on here. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. It'll be UNITA, but it'll have Sean Clark. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I am.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It's Sean's a hoot. Never, you don't have to worry about any kind of fluff with Sean. He's just going to say what's on his mind. And
since we're live, you guys might get some peeks at stuff you might not normally, because every time we've recorded with Sean after the fact, he's like, hey man, can you guys cut this part out? I shouldn't have said this.
Oh dude, the funniest edit was in the last episode. You were like, now, Sean, you know, they're doing all the stuff at The Exorcist. Why has nobody reached out to Linda Blair about this? I made the funniest cut in that podcast episode ever. He goes, I mean, have you heard about this? And he just kind of goes, he looks right at the camera and I forgot what he says, but it's the funniest cut right after that. And then it's instantly a new question. And people in the comments were like, okay, everybody noticed the cut.
He looked right at us and he was like, she's in it.
It was so funny. And he was like, cut that.
Yeah. And that's what I was trying to tell you guys. A year ago, before anybody knew Linda was in it, Sean told me and Christian. And he was like, I wasn't supposed to tell you guys that. So don't say shit and cut it out. And I was like, you got it. And that's why when people ask me, like, is Linda in The Exorcist? I was like, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you where I heard it from. Like, if anybody asks, I'm not trying to piss Sean off. But yeah, it'll be really cool to get Sean back on, man, especially because we have a year to recap with him. I mean, we're going to talk about H45 because neither one of us were there. We want to hear from him how that was. Maybe we'll be talking at that point by Thanksgiving. We could be talking about, I want to talk about The Exorcist with him because I really want his opinions on it. I want to know what he thought. Because if you guys notice, Sean doesn't say what he thinks of movies anymore, like on social media. He used to years ago. He doesn't do it anymore.
So if you watch it, everything nowadays.
Yes. Yeah. But if you watch it, well, it's funny because he was like, I liked Halloween Ends. He's like, yeah, I liked it. I was like, well, damn. You should have just like said that on Instagram, but because everyone's like, you're the guy, your opinion is gold. But yeah, so it'll be really cool. It'll be really cool to have him back on. And I just hope that you guys, you know, if you're not subscribed to my channel already, please do. If not, it's cool. Just at least come back for the shows. That's all I
care
about.
They'll be back.
I want you guys to watch.
They'll know about the show. They'll be at the show. If it's good, they'll watch. It's that simple. And the show is good. They'll watch.
Okay. Well, you know, that's that, guys. I know a lot of you guys have already been in the live chat popping off. Thank you guys for being here. Yes, Star Court, Eli Ross. And also, I got this at Party City yesterday. I saw your comments.
I liked it. I like that beanie.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you would have had I thought this was like common. When I saw it, I was like, I can't believe I don't have a Freddy beanie. So, yeah. Have you not seen this one either?
No, but I think Sydney said she wants to go to Party City this weekend. So if I see it, I'll grab it.
That's where I got this shirt too.
Crash. I like that.
Yeah. Well, it was 10 bucks. I was like, whatever, I'll get it. That's also where I got the Myers shirt that it's just the mask and it says purely and simply evil. So yeah, they got some cool stuff there. I mean, Spirit, dude, I mean, you know, Spirit's the shit, but like Party City, they have some licensed stuff too. And honestly, it's cheaper.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. They were still putting stuff out the last time I went. So I think it's funny because Sydney was like, hey, Saturday, let's do like basically our last kind of, you know, run, like going to places. So it'll probably be my last Spirit run and Party City run and all that. Party City. Party. Sorry, my Miro's coming out. But yeah, we're gonna do that, and I'm more excited about Party City than Spirit, to be honest with you. I've pretty much gotten everything I needed from Spirit, but I gotta be honest with you, Nick. This is the last year I can handle all the Killer Clowns and Trick or Treat stuff. They have to do Elm Street, or you know what they should do? Make a little Billy puppet, porcelain display thing, or just do something else. You know, because I'm getting pretty. The Scream was cool, but I'm getting pretty burnt out on all the Trick or Treat. And Killer Clown merch.
Well, I mean, Saw X was a big hit financially, so I would assume we'll get an announcement on a follow-up soon enough. And then with that, I would hope by next Halloween season, Spirit's like, hey, let's lean into this Saw thing a little bit. I'd like that. So yeah, I mean, hopefully. Yeah, dude, I was gonna say, I didn't know that all you guys had Party Cities around you too, because I feel like it's dying. Like, is it just me or is it dying?
You know what? I guess maybe it is, but I have one. It's an hour from me, but it's a big city in North Louisiana. So like they just have all that stuff. Mine, dude, whenever I go in there, there's always people in there. I mean, always people in there. Mm-hmm. So, and it's really cool. Does yours have all the Trick or Treat Studios air fresheners at the front? Like when you go up to walk by the, like, no. If you go up by the count, if you go up to the checkout, if you turn around, you'll see like a little, what do you call those, impulse shelves? Like, you know, the stuff they put right by the cash registers. Yeah. The impulse shelf, dude, it's ours. I got all of them. I got Captain Spaulding. I got Halloween 3, Myers. They had the little.
I got all those at Spirit 2 years ago. I still
okay,
have.
They have them too.
I have Spalding, the original Halloween and Halloween 3, all three of them air fresheners still hanging on my mirror in my car. All three of them.
Yeah. I
can't throw them away. I can't do it.
The Strangers one smelled incredible. I forgot the scent of it, but Sydney loved it. So she's actually gone on the website and bought a couple after the fact because she loved it. But the Strangers air freshener smelled really good. I forgot the scent of them, though, but we loved it. It wasn't a heavy smell. So when you got in the car, it was like, it's so good. Some of them are kind of heavy, you know?
Yeah. What's it? Starcourt says, has anyone told you you look like Sean Morgan, the lead singer of Seether?
Yes. I get that. When I have my hair cut shorter, I'm told I look like Stallone, but I don't take that as a compliment, even though I love him because he has numbness in the side of his face. So his face kind of drags like that.
There you go. Yeah.
But now that my hair is kind of red, you can't tell now, but now that my hair is kind of red, I do kind of look like Sean from Seether.
Well, I mean, that's better than what I get. You know, Jack Skellington, the Grim Reaper. That's the type of shit I get. There you go. Yeah. It was funny. It was funny because Brooke and I are going to take William trick-or-treating together because she's off that night. So I was like, I wanted to take him. We're going to do it jointly. We're going to be civil. He's dressing up like Sully from Monsters, Inc. So she's going to dress up like Boo. And I was like, I can do Mike Wazowski. And Brooke immediately goes, that's perfect because you're just tall and skinny with long arms and long legs. And I was like, cool, sick. So I'm just already Mike Wazowski.
Man.
Yeah. But all right, now that that is all out there, all out in the open, Christian, I want to ask you, did you watch that Strangers sneak peek? It wasn't even a trailer. It was like a scene.
No, I didn't. Not because I'm avoiding it. I literally just, I heard about it, but literally I have not. I mean, you could just explain it to me. Tell me if you're excited about it and all that. Because I know that the Nightmare 4 guy is doing them, right?
Yeah, Ray Harlan.
So I would place money on it being pretty damn good because that guy is a really good director, but that's all I can say at this point. I have not seen it yet.
You know, it looks like it's going to be a really effective scene. But I gotta tell you something. I don't know why you post it. You know, I don't know why you do that. Like, why not just do a trailer? Because it looks like a really tense scene. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, a girl in the house and you get the knocking and we get the, is Tamara home? Like and we get all that. And it's this buildup. And then it shows after like 2 minutes of this back and forth at the front door. And it's really tense. There's no music, nothing. You see Sackhead walk behind her and then the clip ends. So he's already in the house.
Sounds so cool to me though.
Yeah, it is. But it's just one of those things where it reminded me of Halloween 2018. In the trailer where Vicky opens the closet door and Michael slashes at her, and they showed that in the trailer. And I'm like, but that looks like it's going to be like a really tense moment. And you might've just taken that away because now I've already seen it. So I'm not going to be surprised.
Dude, I don't know what we talked about this a while back, the magic of the teaser and the idea of, There was a trailer you referenced where it was for Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. Surprise, Rob Zombie. But it was literally nothing. But it was everything at the same time.
That's not entirely true. I did remember it and I found it. I know exactly, but I know which one you're talking about, where it just says like on August 28th, blah, 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 blah. And like, it's really just like text on the screen and you just hear the dun, dun, and then it's just like, like it was really cool, but you did get a shot of that's the famous shot of Dag Ferich from the first Rob Zombie one, where they didn't bring him back for the second one because he was too old, but they did film one thing for him for Halloween 2, and it's him pulling the mask up. They had that shot in the teaser, and they had Sherry at the top of the hill in the cemetery with like the fog behind her, and then it just showed the mask and it said H2. But
cool. Yeah. Go to Campfire Haven. Gave you $20. Yeah,
I was just going to wait for you to finish, but
go ahead. Go ahead.
Campfire Haven, thank you very much for the $20 super chat. Love both channels. You guys put in the work and it will show. Last night I had the opportunity to see When Evil Lurks. I found it arguably the best horror movie of the year. Okay. First of all, thank you very much for that generous super chat. I do appreciate it. I've never seen you in a live stream before, so I'm assuming you've probably found me because of Christian. So again, thank you, Christian. But yeah, I want to see it. When does this come out? I've been hearing about it.
I think it's I don't know if it's nationwide in theaters, but I certainly have seen people, it's probably in bigger cities, but I have heard nothing but people say, like, bro, I'm paraphrasing, but like the line I keep seeing is Exorcist Believer is an absolute joke compared to a movie like this. This movie is actually terrifying. And I'm just like, wow, like, I need to go see this. I mean, people are telling me, like, Christian, this is the movie of the year.
And it's getting a nationwide theatrical release.
Well, I know it's in theaters. I don't know if it's nationwide. Like, it's certainly not in my local theater, I can tell you that. But I don't know. You might be able to look it up and see.
Holy
but
shit, Christian, it has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have some showings around me tomorrow.
I want to see it. I don't know if it's foreign. I don't know if it's in English. It might be subtitles.
Is it subtitled? Have you seen? Well, obviously, Campfire Haven. It's Spanish. Yes,
it's Spanish. It's Spanish. Oh, it's right. I've seen the previous. There was a movie called. Damn it! I saw it on Shudder. It was one of the first movies I bought on DVD. That was a Shudder exclusive. It was so good. It was a Spanish film. It was called. Somebody in the chat, for the love of God, say it so I don't sit here like a jackass. It's not cursed. It was one word. It was like infected. Damn it. Somebody, for the love of God, please say it. But it was one of the first movies I watched on Shudder. And it was that director. And when I heard that, Terrified, thank you. Terrified. It changed me. I was like, holy shit. Who is this guy? It was really good. So I can just vouch on that whatever this movie is probably really good. Nacho Libre.
That's selective.
No, but I'm excited because, yeah, that movie that I saw was incredible. So if this is the same guy.
Well, it says it's distributed by Shudder. So I would imagine that
it's going to be
on Shudder very soon.
I would imagine. But it's really cool that it's getting a theatrical release. That's good.
Yes.
Especially, you know, movies like that getting a good. But the word of mouth is still very powerful. Mm-hmm. Still very powerful, clearly. If anything, it's probably more effective than, you know, putting movie clips as a trailer, I guess, nowadays.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, but Terrified's really good. Terrified was really good.
But thank you. Thank you, Campfire Haven. I really do appreciate that. I feel like part of that super chat was in celebration of Christian's, like, promotion, so to speak. So, Christian, let's keep them coming.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for the super chat. That was nice.
Yeah, thank you very much. Dylan wants to know, have you seen Dark Harvest yet? I haven't.
No. Surprise.
Dude, I'm hearing mixed things because Lee loved it. And guys, we love Lee. But sometimes me and Christian are like, we can't trust Lee.
Well, I'll just be on the opposite end of him for sure.
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah. That was weird because with Halloween Ends, he and I were on the same. But most of the time, I don't know. We're kind of different.
He really was tough on Spiral. And I was just like, I don't see it. I don't see how it's horrible. And I remember he was really low on that. And then he didn't like Scream 6, but then he did. And now I don't think he does.
Yeah, he's not very.
No, hey, God knows I've seesawed on movies.
Yeah. But I'm just saying he's the only review I've watched of it yet. And he said it's his favorite of this year. But then I saw Brad Miska and John Squires say the other day on Twitter, it's just meh. Like it's average. So I just don't know. But Brad fucking hates everything. I love Brad, but dude, he hates everything that comes out nowadays. So I think we just have to watch it for ourselves. Is it streaming anywhere? Does anybody know? Let us know. But
I talked to Nick about just really quick, guys, like the Iron Claw. It's about the Von Erich family. You do not. I repeat. You do not have to like wrestling, professional wrestling, to want to be interested in this movie. This is a story about the most tragic wrestling family in history. It is one of the darkest stories ever. It's coming out from A24, and Nick, the cast is incredible. What's his face from High School Musical? Zac Efron, Lip from Shameless is in it. And the other guy, I forgot the name. I know their faces.
Jeremy Allen White, yeah.
Oh, Lip. My God. The cast is incredible. And Akeem worked on the Iron Claw, and I'm so happy for him. There you go. You worked on. I'm so happy for him. It's gonna. I can already tell you, Nick. It's gonna be a movie that is gonna bring people to tears. It's gonna be dark. And Akeem told me that they had carte blanche to not. They have carte blanche to not stray away from the darkness of any. Only I don't want to say anything about the Von Erich family because I'd be spoiling a little bit if you're not familiar. But when I say I'm over the edge, ready to see this movie, I really am. It's going to be way more intense than like The Whale or anything, just because I know the story. So I'm very excited about the Iron Claw, guys. So please go support that because we have a friend that worked on it as well.
That's right. Akeem's doing some great, great things right now. He's actually currently working on Stranger Things 5, which is so awesome. But guys, go ahead and check out the Iron Claw. And no, for anybody asks, Akeem's not going to give you spoilers on Stranger Things, so stop. But yeah, go check it out. And yes, Mark, he is on fire. What's up, Chris? All right, so what we wanted to do with these debriefs, and guys, the debriefs, obviously, it should go without saying, are going to become few and far between with this because we're going to prioritize the long-form show. That's just the way it's going to go. Having said that, don't be surprised if I do a debrief every now and then, going through comments, do a live stream.
And that's fine. I'd be more than happy for you to do that.
And if Christian, I can send him the link, and if he's got a half hour, he can pop in for a second, you know, maybe sure. Do it once a month, but you know, we'll see. But I want to go through some of the comments on the most recent episode, because that's what we wanted to do with this and unpack some comments. Now I've seen some comments in the live chat, so I just want to let you guys, you know, I we're going to talk about it. And I want to hear your thoughts, Christian. You've seen it. I have not. One of the top comments on the last episode says the best horror movie to come out this weekend was Totally Killer. Pet Sematary Bloodlines and Exorcist Believer kind of disappointed me. And that was from Roberta 9194. Christian, you saw Totally Killer. What did you think?
I think you would like it. It's got the tone of Happy Death Day 2.
Okay.
I think it's not the same kind of movie, but in a sense, it's kind of like maybe a little. I actually think you would like it a lot. I thought it was going to be like in the first 10 minutes. But once the hook kicked in for the movie, I thought it was really, really fun. Maybe not something I'm going to watch a whole lot, but it was good. It was really witty. And
it's not streaming anywhere, right? You have to rent it.
I think it was on Hulu.
Okay, well then,
because I know I streamed it because I watched it at work, but I know I streamed it, so it was really good.
Okay, all right, cool. So, how is Totally Killer compared to The Final Girls? Christian asks Mark.
I don't think I saw The Final Girls.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that.
Chris, I don't want to lose your comment because I saw your question. Chris Snyder wants to know, obviously not counting, not unexpected news. How often do you guys like to plan ahead of content? For like our channels, dude, sometimes for me, it's like I fly by the seat of my pants, like dead ass. Like it'll be whatever hits me that day. Christian right now, he has to plan. Like he has to say this movie on this day, this review on this day. I am lucky enough, but I wouldn't even say lucky enough because sometimes it sucks to have to rack your brain sometimes and be like, what should I do? I did record a video earlier today that should be out at some point tomorrow, looking back on Halloween Ends a year later. Just because I haven't talked about the movie in months. It's been out for a year. I kind of want, you know, after everything cooled down, I want to talk about it.
After everything cooled down. Brother, yeah. It ain't never gonna cool down.
yeah, I know. But so that's you know, I did that. But and then the other day, Terrifier. Terrifier was just on my mind, and I was like, I want to talk about Terrifier, like, and how I think this is going to be a huge franchise 10 years from now. And then I talked about what did I say? Silent Hill, man. I finally watched it. You and I haven't talked since I watched it. I loved it. Mark, shout out to Mark. He sent me the Collector's Edition Scream Factory Blu-ray of it not long ago, and I got around to watching it, and dude, I loved it. I even watched the second one. I don't know who the troll is.
Don't leave him. I don't get to... bro. Okay. Hey,
I've never seen that person before. It's clearly a troll. But yeah, dude, I loved it. The second one, not so much. What are your thoughts on the Silent Hill movies?
The first one's one of my all-time favorites. Just absolutely adore it. I never played the video games. So when I rented the movie, my mom actually just rented it. You know, it was just one of those things where Blockbuster was still a huge thing. And I remember we got it and I just watched it. Dude, when I watched this movie at night, I lost sleep for probably 4 or 5 days. And I remember the scene where she opens up the bathroom door and you see
that guy
and his mouth was open and she has to get the key out of his mouth. I lost sleep. I lost sleep for days. And then when he wakes up, when the alarm goes off, holy shit, dude, it absolutely ruined me. And it's one of the best CG. It's one of the best CGI movies I've ever seen. Like, that's how you do a CGI film.
Oh, dude, it's remarkable. And like the world around just like it's dissipates. Insane. Yeah, it's so cool. And that's the bummer about Revelation, because obviously I'm not a huge. I was not big on that movie. I actually pretty much just did not like it. I thought it was boring. Yeah. I thought the pacing was shit. Like, I just didn't like it. But I think the biggest complaint I had about the movie is they didn't have the budget to realize the darkness like the first movie did. So when they try to do some of that stuff, I was like, this looks like shit. Like, yeah. It really does.
I just remember watching Revelations and it was probably 20, 30 minutes, man. I don't think I got much further than that. And I was just like, man, this ain't it. And I don't even think I finished it. Just the first one was so good. And it's probably, it may be the best video game movies ever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But even the end is so insane with the girl in the bed and her eyes are just like this. And she's like skinless, but covered in blood and all the way that woman dies with the barbed wire. Can't even describe it on the internet.
Oh, it's incredible though. I loved it. They all got what was coming to them.
Do you remember the part where Pyramid Head grabs the one girl right outside the church, grabs her? Dude, I can't talk about this movie too much. Cause every time I do, I literally want to watch it. It's like the thing in the way that you're impressed every time you watch it. You never get used to the movie. You watch it and it impresses you.
And I feel it's, like there's so much to know, to see on repeat viewings that you missed the last time. Cause the world is like so realized. It's like, it's awesome.
Incredible. It's incredible. And the scene, even though it's forced perspective, which is like the irony that it's one of my favorite shots because of all the great CGI, the shot where, like I said, it's all camera work, forced perspective. But when Pyramid Head reaches in and he's doing this, trying to reach for him. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, like something about and there. It's creepy.
It's the fucking like scarabs, too. Or, you know, those bugs that come in and they're like surrounding them. Because my whole like when I'm watching that scene, I'm like, either is Pyramid Head going to get him or are these bugs going to eat him? Like, I just thinking about that. And then everything just, as soon as the darkness dissipates, everything's gone. It's wild. You could be out doing anything in that dimension, and all of a sudden you hear the air raid siren. I'll never hear an air raid siren the same way again. Never. Like, after watching that movie, I'm just going to think about that now. And I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, the darkness is coming. Like, so, it was awesome. It was awesome. I genuinely, someone asked about if we are excited for Return to Silent Hill. I think it was Chris Snyder. I know I am now.
Is it a game or a movie they're making?
It's a movie. It's already filmed, and it's the director of the first movie. He came back to direct
this one. That's exciting. See, I knew about that, but I've slept since then. No, but that's exciting. Like, I'm definitely going to check it out. Yeah, the siren is creepy. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like 4 or 5 pitches lower than like what a normal kind of siren is. So,
And when I was watching it for the first time with no knowledge of the video games either. So when I'm watching it, and you see Rose go down that alley and then like down those dark steps, and then you hear it for the first time, I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, what is there a bomb about to get dropped? Like, what's going to happen? And then it just goes dark. And then, I mean, from the moment the darkness descends for the first time, bro, you got like the burning children that are coming at her. Like, dude, this is messed up. Dude, it's so, so messed good. Up. It's so messed up. Let's see. $5 super chat. Thank you very much. Because I chose not to that time.
That's why he's pulling out.
Yeah. Ever since that, I was like, I'm not doing it again. Thank you for the super chat. That was my choice. That was my choice. I promise. My son was not a mistake. Yes, it's already filmed. Tales from the Shelf. Yeah, it's already been shot. So the movie's done. It's in the can. It's supposed to come out next year at some point. So really excited for that.
Hell yeah.
Next year's shaping up to be pretty good, man. All things considered, I really think there's a lot of good stuff to look forward to, assuming we get it all. Some Strangers movies, a new Silent Hill movie. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we get the Crystal Lake series next year, like we were supposed to. I think it'll be a pretty good year.
Well, what strikes are still going on? I thought they resolved one of them.
The writer strike was resolved. The actors are still on strike. They met last week. Negotiations were going well, and then I believe on Thursday, talks fell through, and they were basically like, "We have no intention of talking with you at this point until." I mean, you want to know the secret? I mean, Akeem can probably shed light on this. You know who's holding everything up, guys?
Probably Disney.
You guessed it. No, Netflix. Netflix. Netflix doesn't want to cut in 2% into their profit margin. It's Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you want us to pay you for how often your shows might be streamed? That's ridiculous.
I mean, they already cut out people. Like, they implemented it. My mom was using, I gave her my Netflix password. She can't anymore. It stopped her. Or it said, are you using this as your primary internet ID? I guess, like, the home-based internet. And she was like, well, I can't do that. Then it's going to kick my son off. And that's his Netflix account. So then she, just out of spite. I don't even think she uses, it's like I don't think she got her own Netflix account. She's just like, screw it. So, I mean, they implemented that as well. You know,
my mom used mine and then, made it the home one. So now I have, it was mine. But luckily Stranger Things and you, their new seasons aren't out yet. So I've had I'm like, I don't care. That's really all I use it for at this point. But
they should probably put some of those popular shows on DVD, man. People will buy them. God knows that they bought Cobra Kai and
two seasons of Stranger Things when they did the VHS retro.
It was so cool. Yeah. People were buying them. Like it's so stupid. Like that's a whole new, and that's what's so cool about Paramount, man, is they still like all their original stuff. They still put on disc. They did Tulsa King. They did a Steelbook and a regular release of Tulsa King, original Paramount Plus show. So it's just like, I don't know, like make good content and people will want to buy it. Like, and it's so stupid that they didn't do Stranger Things season 3. Like, dude, can you imagine the DVD sales of that? Just as a collector's item for the fans. You don't have to, not even physical media people, just the fans of the show. They want to buy stuff. They want to get the t-shirt. It's just stupid to me. Just really stupid.
Yeah, no. And you know, Starcourt makes a good point. You're only hurting yourselves by continuing to delay Stranger Things. That's your moneymaker. You know, the longer you don't come to the table with these people and make a deal, the longer you have to wait to get, because you know how it goes when Stranger Things is about to come back. Oh, I'm sure their subs go through the roof. And then as soon as the season's over, they probably drop off, but it doesn't matter. Netflix already got your money. So
yeah,
okay. Like if you want to keep doing that, you know, go for it, but we'll see where it gets you. So there's that. And then as far as other comments go, let's see. Clue STL says David Gordon Green has been whisperer. Jamie Lee Curtis came back twice and obviously Ellen Burstyn. So the has been whisperer. I had never heard that about David Gordon Green, but hey, you know,
I feel really bad about what I said in the last, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I kind of spoken, I don't feel the responsibility really, but I do feel like I kind of spoke into existence what ended up happening. It's like, honestly, that's Nick. I don't think this guy should be directing all these movies and these trips. Like, he doesn't need to be doing this, man. And then sure enough, they're like, all right, buddy, you're not directing the next ones. Call it involved still. Call it you will, dude. They probably were like, we got to get somebody else.
Yeah, it's the name. Unfortunately, you know? there is a swath of the horror fan base that hears his name and they go, no, thanks. I'm not interested. Whether the movie has merit or not, they're not interested. So I think it's the way you revitalize it personally, man. I think if you bring somebody on that is a big name director, I mean, obviously you guys know Mike Flanagan would be my choice. And to everybody asking, I have not started the Fall of the House of Usher yet, but I think I'm actually going to start it tonight.
I did yesterday. I was one episode in, and it's got all the Flanaganisms you want. So, it's going to be a lot to beat did Midnight you like Mass. It? I mean, yes, I did. I really like the one where it was the broad that she goes to. I forgot where she becomes like a maid in this house.
Bly Manor.
I thought that was going to be garbage. Just because of the name, I was like, ugh, Bly Manor, what the hell is that? But I ended up really loving that too. And the what's his name? He was the cop in
Rahul.
He's so funny on social media. He's like a big video game guy, completely different than what I thought he was gonna be, like, based on the characters he plays. He's like a big nerdy guy, but he is so good. He's got an earnesty in his performances. That, like, he just seems like a real blue collar working kind of guy, and that stuff. And he's so good. But Midnight Mass, he was so good. I don't know, man.
I agree with Christian, guys. I agree with Christian. You're gonna have to be incredible to rival Midnight Mass for me. There isn't anything Flanagan's done that I haven't at least mildly enjoyed. I don't think he has a stinker. But dude, Midnight Mass, I'd put that
once in a lifetime.
Yeah,
once in a lifetime
series I've ever seen. Like, seriously, it's that good. Like, if you guys haven't seen Midnight Mass, I have genuinely have no idea what you're doing. Like, you have to rectify it. It's so good. Like, incredible. Oh my god, Alexa.
By the end of Midnight Mass 2, you're just so emotionally drained. It's just incredible. It's just so incredible. And That's why I liked The Last Demeter so much, was because, which I didn't see that today. It came out on Blu-ray. I gotta go grab that. But the vampire reminded me a lot. It looked a lot like that gargoyle-esque Bram Stoker 92 kind of vampire. Like that big Batman. Not Batman, but like a Batman. Like, you know? So, dude, when he showed the scene in Midnight, I don't know, never mind. If people haven't finished it, I don't want to get into it. Great show.
There are some people in the chat, Alexis, it's saying so that they haven't finished it. Yeah, you got to do that. I mean, you got it. It's so good. It's so freaking, but yeah, you're right, dude. It's one of the only things I've watched in my life personally that gave me anxiety. Like, I have anxiety already. Like, I take medication every night for it. It's just one of my afflictions. And, watching that show, the 4K. Yeah. What's up, Rudy?
He's right.
Yeah, you gotta wait for it, or you're gonna double
it. It'll come out in 3 weeks.
Well, I don't know, man. All I'm saying is the episode where they talk on the couch about what happens when you die. Literally, I had like an existential crisis. Like, as I was watching, I was like, dude, I'm not even kidding. I like my palms.
I remember you telling me about that.
Weak, arms are heavy. There was vomit on my sweater already. But like, no, I was sitting there and I was like, this is like, I can't do this. Like, I have to turn, but I was so enthralled. I had to keep watching it. But I was literally like, this is making me uncomfortable. Like, I can't do it. It's so good. And then the next episode, there's a scene in a boat that I texted Christian right after. I said, dude, what the fuck? And he was like, oh, you see that episode? I was like, yeah. Like, he knew what I was talking about.
It was good.
So good. So good.
I do fear, as a movie fan, though, I do fear that Flanagan's going to, which as a writer, I get, because he can really write a great story in a limited series. And it's not that I don't think they're great, but it's just like, as a movie fan, come on, man. Like, let's go back to the movies. Like, look, if you're going to, if Dr. Sleep is one of the movies I have to judge Flanagan off of, all bullshit aside, he needs to make more movies. Because just look at that. The fact that is in essence, legacy sequel, whatever you want to call Dr. Sleep. I know it's really kind of a different thing, but the fact is, you take Dr. Sleep compared to Halloween, The Exorcist. It's like a Mercedes-Benz, and the others are like Ford Tauruses. I mean, it's just like, that's how good Flanagan is. It's just the truth. And that's not a slight to David Gordon Green, because I like him. I really do. But I think in the long run, this is just not good for his career. I think it's actually good he's not going to finish these Exorcist movies. I really do. I like him. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a good guy. But I think he, this is good for him. This is not a, I was telling Nick this. It's like, it's not that I think it's going to hurt him, his pockets or anything, but I just don't think it's going to be good for him to just be the guy that's directing legacy sequels to horror films like that. And then doing three of them, it's almost going to be a joke if that's all he does. Like, can't do it. So I think this is good. But my point is, like, Flanagan is so talented, it's criminal he's not doing movies.
Dude, he's going to be at Horror. I had somebody reach out to me yesterday. He's going to be at Horror Hound in Cincinnati in March. And I was already thinking about going, and I was like, I'm going now.
See, that's
like,
one you should be going to. That's a staple convention, the Horror Hound convention, staple.
I remember, dude, back in 2010, March of 2010, I believe it was. There was a Horror Hound ad like thing in the magazine or whatever, and I cut out the pictures of the people that were going to be there and shit, and it was like Malcolm McDowell and like a bunch of people from Rob Zombie's Halloween movies, and I wanted to go so bad, and I just couldn't. I mean, I was what, 16? So, but yeah, dude, I agree, dude. I just feel like it's criminal that Netflix, for what Mike Flanagan gave us from Netflix, it was an incredible run. Hill House, Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, and now The Fall of the House of Usher, which is getting great reviews. So I can't wait to watch it. Mm-hmm. But having said that, like, I'm glad that he's not tied down there anymore, because I really want to see him go back to doing some movies, man.
Yes.
Dude, right. Like you just said, dude, he took Ouija, a terrible movie, and made
a banger.
Good. Yes.
It's up there with like Annabelle Creation. It's just like, why is this so good? You know, why is this so good? It's just, he's got the Midas touch, you know, he really does. So I don't know, but I'm going to try to get through The Fall of the House. It's too, I don't want to say the title. It's too goddamn long. Too many fucking words.
Blu-ray Addict wants to know, favorite serious performance from an actor mostly known for comedies. The movie's a comedy, but he's very serious at times in it. I think Adam Sandler in Click is really good. I think he's really good in Click and in 50 First Dates, when he actually gets to show some, like, well, Uncut Gems too. Shit, I should say Uncut Gems, because that's not a comedy at all. So Sandler, give me Sandler in one of those three movies. I think he can act really well.
Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Or the number 23. I actually really like that movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. Eternal Sunshine is it's one of my wife's favorite movies. She turned me on to it, and it was, I couldn't believe that Jim pulled that off. It was so good.
What'd you think of the Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher?
Ashton Kutcher. I saw that when it came out. I remember liking that. That was like, it was like a ripple effect kind of thing, like in time. I need to see that again. It's been way too long to really comment on it.
So good. Basically, like he changes one thing in his past or whatever, and it sets him on a whole new course. Yep. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I need to see that again. I haven't seen it since it came out. I was trying to think though of like a haunting,
of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Robin Williams. 1 hour photo. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody that's seen that will tell you.
That's a really good movie.
Oh man, that might actually, I'm gonna have to change from Eternal Sunshine and say 1 hour photo. 1 hour photo disturbed me worse than anything I'd ever seen. It was so sad.
Yes, Starcourt, I have seen Hubie Halloween.
Oh god, I love Hubie Halloween. I feel like Sandler is like, okay, if people think my movies are just really stupid, well, I'm gonna really make it. That's how I feel about Hubie Halloween. But dude, it's gorgeous. When you see him riding on his bike and the ghost face kids are chasing him in the town. Yeah. Oh my God. Just look at the background. It's incredible.
Yeah. I will maintain this till the day I die. They need to do a Grown Ups 3. I don't care. The two Grown Ups movies are They're the dumbest, most preteen comedy, but us, like, that's always funny to us.
So, I love,
like,
Kevin James too. Kevin James, I've always been a big Kevin James fan.
Dude, all of them together is so, so funny. But
was it Grown Ups 2 where Kmart is featured in the movie? What the fuck? Like, wasn't Kmart already, like, not a thing at that point too? Was that another inside joke, or
I don't know, but Nick Swardson in that movie is hilarious as, like, the bus driver, and then all the shit that he's doing in Kmart. Like, dude, Nick Swardson, I'll never forget watching Grandma's Boy for the first time, because that's when I was introduced to Nick Swardson.
Legendary film.
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. Jonah Hill sucks on a boob for like 30 straight minutes. Like, it's an incredible movie.
I saw a TikTok about him talking about Grandma's Boy, and he said that he knew the movie was funny, but he goes, I forgot what podcast it was. I can't shout out the podcast, but he was on the podcast and he goes, you know, when we were making Grandma's Boy, I knew it was going to bomb. It's not commercial. It's hysterical, but it's not a commercial movie. It did like $5 million in the box office, but then it did over $100 million on DVD. Over $100 million.
Yeah.
I have Grandma's Boy on DVD. I think it's out of print now, but I have it. I bought it from Blockbuster from my town when it shut down. And dude, it is hysterical. It is so funny. I need to watch that movie again too.
Yes. Yeah, Tag is really good. Tag is a funny comedy. I liked that one too. Ben Grimm says, isn't Sanders thing that he takes his friends on vacation and makes movies there to write it off? I don't know, but
you know,
that's smart.
You know, Uncut Gems was really good.
It was
a nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I loved when I was a kid, Kevin Garnett was like one of my favorite basketball players too.
Yeah, but here's the only thing about Uncut Gems. I thought it was a great movie, but I saw the end coming a mile away from the very beginning. Like, you know.
Oh, it's a ticking time bomb, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know. So it's like, oh God.
I need to see more from those brothers too. The Coen brothers. I think it's the Coen brothers.
Yep.
But they I bought the movie again, you know, like Rudy said, just wait, Christian. Like, I remember buying the movie on Blu-ray, and then Criterion announced a nice release of the movie and had all kinds of new features on it, and I ended up getting that. And they did a great, if anybody's interested, they did a really, really good release of Uncut Gems from Criterion. That's really nice.
We actually had a commenter in the live chat. CR said, if anybody's interested, Criterion has a flash sale going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm really excited for Terrifier 3 as well. I'm just going to ask Christian right now. I'm putting him on the spot. If it's playing anywhere near you, are you going to go November 1st? Not even to watch the movie, because I'm going to go, but I don't know if I'm going to watch the movie. I want to get the poster because they're going to be super limited, and I want to watch the teaser.
Is the teaser before or after the movie?
It's before.
I'd have to see the poster first. You'd have to be the guinea pig for it. Like, if I see it and I think it's cool, maybe.
My local theater is playing it on November 1st, so I already bought a ticket. I want to get the poster because, you know, it's going to be one of those posters 10 years from now.
Oh, you got the space for it on your wall too. So if you want, if you like it, you can hang it right below your turkey.
Well, you know? I have, you know how many posters I have rolled up that I don't have framed right now. So
I know.
A lot of my posters are out in my family room, but yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it.
I'm trying to think what's the next thing I'm going to go see in theaters, to be honest with you. I don't know. Oh, Thanksgiving.
I'm putting
all my chips again on Thanksgiving. I'm putting every last chip on Thanksgiving. Eli, I need you, baby. I need it.
Yeah.
I need a 4-star film at least from you, dude. Yeah, don't disappoint me.
It was the sad Fee brothers, by the way, not the Coens. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Not the Coens.
Big Daddy is awesome too. I remember seeing Big Daddy when I was a kid, and I always did the spit thing. Like, I just did the spit where I'd let it hang and then pull it back up in my mouth. Like, yeah, I just,
Big Daddy's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how I learned about the band Garbage. When grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Evan, you got to rectify that, man. Terrifier, the first one, it's really just about the gore. Like, that's really all it's about. But the second one actually does have a little bit of a story, some good performances. I really, really think you should at least watch that one. Jaden thinks that Thanksgiving's going to be meh. I don't think it looks meh at all.
You know, it's just one of those things. I've gone into trailers where I was really excited, and then I realized, wow, everything good was in the trailer. Okay. and maybe they're holding back in the trailer, and that's the way he perceives it. You never know until you see the movie. That's the thing about these trailers. And then sometimes you get exactly what you see in the trailer. You know, so it just wanted, you know, you never know. You just
sometimes
never
you're
know.
A little surprised. Sometimes you get an Exorcist believer. You don't love it, but you go, I mean, that was better than the trailers, though. So yeah. It happens. But sometimes you get a Halloween Ends where they promise you a totally different movie and you piss everybody off. So, hey, you know, whatever. Honestly, Christian, there weren't a lot of like controversial comments on the last episode. There really weren't. Like everybody, I mean, you know, the general sentiment seemed to be
this movie was,
yeah, like it wasn't a garbage fire, but it just, you know, whatever. I'm just
in context, Nick, like being honest, I'm not going to be mean, but in context, now that I've seen the movie and I've distanced myself from it, it really just is sad. I mean, it's just. It's not a horrible film, but it's just like, I don't know, Nick.
It exists. It didn't stick with me either. I know exactly what you mean. It's just, you leave the theater and you go, you know what? That was better than I thought it would be. And then a couple of days go by and you don't even think about it anymore. You just don't.
I'm thinking about how William Peter Blatty decided I'm going to rival my first movie in 1990. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about, you know, will we ever reach that with the title Exorcist and with the word Exorcist in the title again? And I'm saying to myself, you know what? Probably not. And,
not unless they get Flanagan.
You know, you joke, but
I'm not joking. If you get Flanagan, I genuinely think,
he could probably do it.
Yeah. You said it 30 minutes ago. He made a sequel to The Shining where most people were like, this is damn good. Yeah.
You take that compared to anything David Gordon Green's done. With all due respect, you know, you're getting a professional. It's just Flanagan. I don't think you can really teach what he does. You know, some people are born to create, and he's one of them. Mm-hmm. I would rather have a Flanagan Exorcist star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. I like the Conjuring movies, but yeah.
It's nuance, too. He's got the Midas touch, and I think that's something you desperately need in stuff like The Exorcist or The Conjuring, quite frankly, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I would take either one.
Jonathan, it's going well, man. It's going well. I'm actually about to get together with my buddy Phil because he's going to help me with it. I'm going to do all the vocals, like the audio tracks with him. So they're all professionally done. I have the script done. So hoping to get it out at the end of December. I don't know, but if it's not the end of December, it'll be the beginning of next year. The only reason is, and I want to talk to Christian about this too, because this is a really big endeavor for me. And it's going to be as professional as it comes. That's why I went to my friend Phil. Well, he came to me and was like, I want to help you. I want this to be legit. The only thing I worry about is, Christian, if I put months of my time into this, and I'm going to, I really don't want to get hit with a strike. I really, really don't. Because this is a time-consuming project. It's going to be well over an hour long. It's going to span all the movies. And I would assume, since it's going to be the only Hellraiser documentary in existence that covers the whole franchise, it'll probably do pretty well on YouTube. It'll probably be one of those videos that just keeps climbing as the years go on. I do not want to get hit with a strike. Now, I know you and I have talked about this. We've had friends in this community deal with this recently. I can cite every source, and I will. I plan to cite every single source. Having said that, it doesn't always matter.
I'm really not the best person to ask about this because I have such fear about that I refuse to use movie clips. I get HD images. To me, it's pretty effective still. I think go by the rules. Don't go over 30 seconds of a clip. Don't use the audio. The rule is, if it's transformative work, which is literally what a documentary is, then if it's transformative work, that is fair use. That is the rule. But the problem is the rules are bent, apparently, not in our favor.
No.
So what I would do is I would create it, upload it unlisted, put monetization on it, and wait. Wait a week. Wait for a copyright to get hit. Find out what it is. Trim, edit, if they tell you what it is, hopefully. And go, because that's what Dead Meat does. He lit that. I feel people make fun of Dead Meat and James and all them, like, oh, they kind of roll their eyes at those guys. Those guys work diligently on those episodes. He talks about it. He goes, dude, you don't just make an episode and hit upload. You have to wait. It has to go through the algorithmic or whatever, those automated things. They got to find what gets pinned or hit. They got to edit it. They got to trim around that. They got to re-upload. They got to do this. It is a process. So that's my recommendation to you, is to...
I will tell you, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but the rights reverted to Clive Barker. Currently, no studio has the rights to Hellraiser. So
that could be a good thing. That could. I'll tell you this, Nick. Danzig refuses anybody to post concert clips of him on YouTube. Go look it up. You will not find anything. If you try to type in Danzig Live, literally nothing except him telling people to put their phones down at concerts. That gets left up. But in terms of performances, buddy, Danzig has a team. It just depends. I don't know Barker, what he's like.
I use my, well, one, I know he's very protective of Hellraiser. I do know that just throughout history. He's very protective of at least those first two movies. And because I remember when Revelations came out, Dimension put on the box from the mind of Clive Barker, and he tweeted, "That thing didn't even come out of my asshole. I had nothing to do with that piece of shit." Like
that's funny.
He's very protective over Hellraiser and his name being associated with it. Also, he's very sick. I hate to say this, but he's probably not going to be with us much longer. I don't think it's public. But I'm pretty sure I could be wrong, guys. Somebody let me know in the comments. I thought that he had been battling HIV for a while. I thought I had heard that. He's very private about his life. I know he's very sick. And
he could barely, when you listen to him in interviews, he sounds like he's got literal rocks in his throat.
Yeah, well, that's smoking and drinking. Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad John quit smoking. He's probably got another 15 years of his life to live. He looks great. I mean, he doesn't look great, but he does. Like, he's moving around, he's doing his thing, and it's just like, man, that shit's gonna catch up with you.
Yeah, John's still very
active. I haven't watched his Peacock show, but I heard basically he helped, but he didn't really do anything. I don't know. But then I saw clips of him on set, like setting up shots, and I was like, oh my God. But I don't know. Maybe it's okay. It's just, I heard it's Dateline NBC stuff. It's not really, I'm not against that. I'll be honest with you, I like that stuff.
Yeah.
Like the reenactment stuff. You know what? No, I don't know. I'll check it out.
I know. I will too. I've been getting asked about that myself. But yeah, I mean, you know,
it's Johnny. It's got his name on it.
Yeah.
You know?
And somebody asked me the other day, like, you know, I think Christian and I sit on the opposite side of the coin here. Somebody asked me about Carpenter coming back and directing a movie. I'd love to see him direct one more movie before he's officially done. But I believe Christian's stance is, no, he doesn't need to. Let, you know, chill. Focus on your music. You know, you had a great career. It is what it is.
Well, his music's really good, too. I mean, I don't care how much his kids are writing it or not. I mean, I challenge anybody to go back and legitimately listen to his Lost Themes records. Lost Themes 2 is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Lost Themes was good. Lost Themes 2 was so fucking good. It was incredible.
I mean, I'm biased, man, but I just, he's probably my favorite composer. Like, he really, really is. I think he is just good. But, you know, somebody that's underrated, Bear McCreary. I like Bear McCreary. And the reason that Bear McCreary comes to mind is because, Christian, I watched Hellfest tonight for the first time.
Incredibly fun. Incredibly fun little horror film.
Yeah. Oh, the entire movie felt like a haunted house. And, and I love that. But
did you hear Tony Todd's voice in there?
I
missed it. I didn't realize that was Tony.
He's in the movie, too. He's like the dude on the stage that does the fake decapitation. That's Tony Todd. But I'll tell you this, man. I would have given that movie 4 stars. I gave it 3.5. It would have gotten a half star for a better ending. And if some people might go, no, I love the ending.
I love the ending. I really do.
No, I needed, if there's not going to be a sequel, I need to, let me just at least see his fucking face.
But that, like, just Nick, there are people that walk this earth. He was the BTK killer to me. That's what he was. He went home to his normal life. Yeah. That's what BT. I loved it. I loved the ending.
It pissed me off so much because I was like, no, this asshole deserves to die. Like, he deserves to die.
I loved it. But you're funny. You bring up Bear McCreary. That makes total sense that he did that movie because I got the Walking Dead box set. It's beautiful, by the way. I mean, it's just beautiful. It's 54 discs. It's covered in art. And then Sydney was like, well, Christian, if you don't like the show, you'll love the music. I was like, why? Because Bear did it. And I was like, oh, really? The people that were producers of The Walking Dead did Hellfest. So that makes sense why Bear did Hellfest. Hellfest was a nothing burger movie, came out, nobody saw it. I didn't see it myself. I thought the poster looked like, huh? And so I bought the Blu-ray and I was like, oh my God. Now there's a big argument. There's two camps. You're either a Hellfest person or a Haunt person.
Well, I'm watching Haunt tomorrow.
Have you seen Haunt? Oh, no. My God. Dude, these movies shook the core of the horror world when they came out. No, especially Haunt.
I remember everybody talking about them. And believe it or not, I was under the impression for the longest time that
You'll be a Haunt person.
Maybe. But yeah, Alexis, I was like, what am I going to watch? And she was like, watch Hellfest or Haunt. And I was like, all right, I'll watch Hellfest because I've heard about that one more than I have Haunt.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'm going to watch Haunt.
Hellfest was a great 4K. I usually like with new movies, just kind of like what, but because of the blues, there's a shot in Hellfest on 4K. You know, the movie opens up and you see this little like dead guy on a chair in front of a haunted house, but there's all these blues and greens. Oh man, with the HDR, it was gorgeous. So for the people that have it, that are fans, if you're a 4K person, get that 4K for Hellfest. It was awesome. And I'm jealous. Rudy saw. I wish that would have been an incredible theater experience. You'll be a Haunt person, though. I'm telling you, you'll be a Haunt person. There's more meat on the bone with Haunt, and it gets way crazier. But Hellfest is a cozy, perfect little movie. I can relax and watch Hellfest any day of the week.
Well, yeah,
but Haunt gets more Rob Zombie wild. You're a Haunt person. I guarantee it.
Well, I'll tell you that Hellfest was literally just, it was literally just like an 80s slasher. Like there's no substance. There's no death.
Great ending.
Yeah. It's
great
just,
ending.
Dude, no. No. Okay. It is a good ending. I'm not, but it pissed me off because dude, that guy was a dick. Like,
is and a killer?
I know, but he deserved some bad shit. I don't know, yes, but I'm excited to watch Haunt tomorrow. I am. Everybody's saying they think I'm going to be a Haunt person. What if I shock the
it's
world?
It's so good. It's so good. I can't talk about it, but dude, it's Haunt was, it literally like, it was crazy because Haunt literally just boop. It was on Amazon Prime, just popped up and it was Eli Roth Presents, just popped up. There was no promotion about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden people started reviewing it and they're like, this is one of the most fun movies I've seen in a long time. And I remember when the DVD came out, I got it and it was so good. Sydney loves Haunt. The masks are cooler in Haunt. I think I might like Haunt a little bit more. The masks are cooler in Haunt.
If it gets Rob Zombie weird, yeah, how could you not like it more?
I feel like it kind of gets that, dude. You'll love it. I know. Yeah, look at the chat. I'm telling you, Haunt's gonna be. You're gonna love Haunt. Yeah. And then, dude, yeah, they did a great. I forgot. I think it was Seconds. No, it was maybe Scorpion did this really cool release with pins and stuff. And Sydney, when she likes a movie, she will show me. Christian, you got to get that. And they got this. We got a set that came with all these cool little pins with all the masks, and the masks are so cool. And you'll be able to see. But yes, definitely watch that. If you could watch that tonight, that'd be great. You'll love Haunt. Oh my God, you'll love it. No, he won't, Rudy. He's not going to, Rudy.
No, you know I'm not like that.
Ronin Flicks. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Y'all know I'm not like that. Sometimes I hope to go against the grain. Because I've seen so many people talk, and it's not like I don't consciously do that, but sometimes I'm like, well, actually, I consciously try not to do that because you get a lot of shit for that when you like stuff that people don't like. But no, I don't really fall into those camps. I try not to, at least. But now you got me, man.
I can sell a movie to people. I can sell a movie to people, man.
I was going to start The Fall of the House of Usher tonight. And now listen, you're like, watch Haunt.
No, trust me. Like, Haunt, you won't regret. Just the first 15 minutes.
Matt, the first 15 the 31 minutes. Jokes.
31 saw it. 31 is dynamite.
No, it's just an inside joke on my channel. Everybody says that 31 is my favorite Rob Zombie movie. Because one time on the stream, I said, it's my least favorite. And everyone's like, nah, you love it. You're lying. You love it.
You love it.
No.
It's not your least favorite.
It's 100% my least favorite.
No, it's impossible. It's too good.
The only one that may rival it is Three from Hell.
Seriously, 31 I'd take that. You would take 31.
Let me watch 31 again, but I'm telling you, man, because I remember watching Three from Hell and just being like, why?
Yeah. Jason Neal. I'm telling you, come on, dude. It's time. It's the perfect time. It's time to watch. Dude, 31, first of all, 31 is dynamite.
I saw the Fathom event for that, brother. I was there.
I wish I would have too.
Dude, my brother went with me and so did his best friend, Aaron. And I remember the scene with the clowns with the chainsaws and shit. Aaron like turned to me and was like, dude, what the fuck is going on? I was like, you're in a Rob Zombie movie, brother. Like,
dude, that shit was crazy. You know what was crazy to me? It was when the girl, the Rugrats voice girl, E.G. Daily, and that giant dude came in.
Yeah.
I was just uncomfortable by that.
Sex head about, death head. Yeah.
That just made me uncomfortable. I was just like, please kill them pretty quick.
Rudy, I've only watched one Halloween movie this month, and it was Halloween 2018, and it was last night. So thank you very much. I've actually diversified quite a bit this month. I usually wait to watch the Halloween movies till the end of the month.
Don't piss him off, Rudy.
I mean, you know.
Shut up, Ben Grimm. 31 is dynamite.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, Christian, did you do a review for the 31 Steelbook?
I did a 31 video. Not long ago, I showed like Rob Zombie's physical beat. It's gorgeous. I love it. Do you have that or
the Steelbook?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get it because everybody was trying to bully me on my channel into buying it, saying that I love the movie. So I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I mean, I got the Firefly trilogy one, even though I don't really care for Three from Hell. I got that Steelbook. So
it's actually one of my favorite Rob Zombie Steelbooks. This was like one of the first times.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I dressed up as Doomhead for Halloween the year that came out. I need to talk to Brooke because she would have the picture because it was years ago because I don't have it. That was my old phone. But I dressed up as Doomhead and everything that year for Halloween. I loved Doomhead in the movie. Richard Brake, it's probably his best role, period. Like, I think he's incredible.
Oh, it's so cool. And then even in Rob's independent stuff like that, he'll still get Aerosmith on the soundtrack. It's just like, that's what makes, dude, he can get, because he just goes, Rob just goes, hey, Steven, can I use Dream On? Yeah, man, you can do whatever you want. You can use whatever movies you want, songs you want. Yeah, just go for it. Like, he doesn't have, like, imagine that. You have carte blanche. Like, I was thinking about that. I was thinking to myself, how did he get Tom Sawyer for Halloween? And how did he get Limelight or whatever it was?
And he got God of Thunder. And then he also got, the Rush song he got was Tom Sawyer.
He got Tom Sawyer. I'm thinking to myself, Christian, Rob probably has, you know, he probably has all three of the members of Rush's phone numbers. Like, he probably knows Geddy Lee. He just asked them.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
It's got to be nice to be Rob Zombie. He probably saves money on that too because they're friends. So he's probably, just use it. Who cares?
I'll tell you what I'm excited about though. Like, no bullshit. Like, I am kind of bummed out that I didn't go see House in the theater. It just wasn't in the cards for me. I was going to try to take my brother. Sydney didn't want to go, but my brother.
It wasn't near me. So, yeah.
Yeah, my brother's, I need to call him. I've been trying to get, he hasn't texted me back in like a week. He's got his own dentist practice. He's got three kids. Like, he has no time to even take a piss. So he couldn't go with me. And then I was just like, I better not. But I wanted to go see that in the theater. But the only good news is in 2 years, when it's the 20th anniversary of Rejects, I just remember when I went to go see Three from Hell, and I got to see, I went to the night, it was either night, it was night three where they played, because, you know, they would do special stuff for each night. The night I went, you got there early, you got to see Rejects, and then they played Three from Hell. And dude, seeing Devil's Rejects in the theater before watching Three from Hell, it just completely made Three from Hell nowhere near as good. Seeing Rejects in the theater, it was just like, dude, seeing it in the theater felt so cool. So I want to recapture that moment again. This is Cutter. I'm coming in 30 minutes, Jackass. Like, I got to see it.
Ben Grimm mentions the two-hour doc on 31. Funny enough, guys, Josh Hastie, the guy who directed that, he went to my high school. I know Josh. I remember years ago, he had made a post on Facebook. He also made a little indie movie called Candy Corn years ago.
I had that. Yeah. The little. What's the proper word? Is it little person? Is it whatever?
Little person, yeah.
He is in Candy
Pancho
Corn.
Moeller. Yeah, Pancho
Moeller. Pancho Moeller. And, hey, I've actually got on the cover of Candy Corn, it's like a jack-o'-lantern face, like the iconic jack-o'-lantern. Trick or Treat Studios made a replica of that to sell. And we keep all the little in the kitchen where the Unita Candles, you know, area is. City puts all the little Ziploc bags with the stickers and candies for people in the Candy Corn bucket that we have. I love that. It's a shitty movie, Nick, but I like it. It's really humble. But Tony Todd has a great monologue with Pancho in it. So there's funny moments in it, but it's not a good movie.
Well, it's funny because I'm looking at the cast right now just to tell you guys who I know. Because I graduated with a couple of people that were in Candy Corn. Nate Chaney. I graduated with Nate. I've been friends with Nate since I was a little kid. He plays somebody in the movie called Jacob Adkins. Patrick Ryan. I graduated with him as well. But it doesn't have his character listed. Because I remember when Josh announced that he was doing it, I was like, and my buddy Nate posted on Facebook that he was going to be in it. I was like, what? Like,
you got to interview these people for this stuff.
I mean, I'm serious. You know, Josh is a really good dude. He was a couple grades above me, so I didn't really know him, but I knew him, but I didn't know him well. So I remember it was kind of a big deal. I remember messaging him on Facebook, and I was like, dude, you're doing this making of doc for Rob Zombie's next movie? He's like, yeah. I was like, bro. That's
incredible.
I wanted to be like, ask Rob some questions for me, but I was like, I didn't. But after he was all done with it, I did reach out to him. I was like, how was it? Dude, Christian and I have said this many times, he only had nice things to say about Rob. He was like, dude, he's awesome. Like, he's just awesome to be around. It's awesome to watch him work. He's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, cool. Good shit. Well, anything else you got, Christian, before we skedaddle?
No, I had a good time. And we'll have an episode in November. That's all I can say. And thank you guys for just sticking with us. You know, it's ups and downs, busy, all that stuff. But, you know, you guys are a big reason why I've wanted to continue, because you love the show. So even though things are changing and they're just going at a more reasonable pace, quite frankly, I appreciate everybody being so supportive and obviously understanding. And thank you, Nick, and everybody who's been very complimentary tonight. I appreciate it. And I know Nick's going to do great things on his channel as well. So everything's good. Everything's good. No, there's nothing bad. This is all good. So that's all I got to say. Just good things to come. Hope everybody has a great Halloween. And we got a lot of stuff to look forward to. You know, the horror doesn't end on 31. We got Thanksgiving and stuff next month. So it's all good. Nothing but good things.
Yep. Yeah. And like I said, guys, I will try to do, by the way, like this stream, if you have not already, please, does wonders for the algorithm. I will try my best to, you know, try to do a debrief once a month. Even if it's just me going through some comments, some questions, you know, because now that the episodes are going to be more like an event, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more chatter on them because people are really going to have a lot to say. So unpacking that would probably be awesome. So I do plan on doing that. Guys, it's the Discord. That's all up to Jaden. Mark, I gotta give full credit to Jaden. He's the one that created the server, he understands Discord. Christian and I do not. We just joined it. We were like, cool, whatever. I mean, I use other servers, but I don't know how to run one. So Jaden is in charge of that. I've been communicating with him. He's trying to get some more emotes. I want to let you guys know there is an emote on there of me from one of our crazy streams with my shirt off, touching my nipples. He literally has that as an emote that you can use. So he wants to do more stuff like that before we officially launch it. But Mark, I'm going to make sure November, you know, we'll try to coincide it with the next episode. As I said, guys, the next episode will be in a couple weeks. In November, you know, Christian and I will get the date. Yes, it's the Dancing Nick one. Yes. And it'll be a live stream with Sean Clark. I'm going to let you guys know, since we're doing this as an event now, less than we have, and less frequently, and Sean will be on the next one, just letting you know, be prepared with your comments, with your questions, because I'm sure it's going to be a lot to get through on the next one. So,
yeah, and I'm not trying to just state out the obvious, but if your comment shows up with a nice colored border, if you know what I mean, your question will definitely get asked, or your question will definitely get answered by Sean. It's just this what it is, because it's going to be impossible to answer people's questions. So
yeah, I mean, especially because anytime,
and that's for Nick's benefit. That's not my money. I'm just saying, if you want, you know,
Chris, you know how down bad I am. You know how down bad I am. Last month, I made $97 off YouTube, so I didn't get my payout. You have to reach 100. Yeah. But October is always a huge month for my channel. So, and it's already trending really well. I've added almost 200 subs this month. Everything's tracking really well, guys. I'm really happy with it. We cannot wait to do that. And yeah, I mean, Christian's just stating the obvious, guys. There'll probably be over 100 people in that live stream. I don't want to miss a comment. So yeah, I mean, you can do 99 cents. Just it'll show it. And I'll go, okay, cool. Cause I won't want to lose it. Also, Sean, y'all know Sean, he likes to talk, but he likes to talk. So, and I don't want to interrupt him and forget, what you guys said, but anyway, I'm getting long-winded. If you guys watch this on the playback again, I hope everybody understands, moving forward what the deal is. I hope you guys are ready for that. And I hope you guys are ready to make an event out of UNITA, because, it's going to be an event now more than it has been before. So to everybody that watched tonight, we love you guys. We will see you in a couple weeks, and, we're excited for the next one. So take care, keep it sleazy, and watch some horror movies before Halloween. We love you. We'll see you later.
Good night.